Be seated. Christmas is coming. I trust you're aware of that. I'm excited about it. I love Christmas. I hope you do. And it's just an exciting time of the year. And, you know, I tell you, I appreciate the decorations, don't you? Amen? Let's thank the worship team for putting these decorations together. It just really helps set the atmosphere, and they've just done a beautiful job with this. Again, I love Christmas. Our theme for this Christmas season is celebrate the miracle of Christmas. And of course, the miracle of Christmas is really Jesus, right? And we celebrate Him, the fact that God became man and dwelt among us. Think about that. God became man and He lived here on this earth. And that fact in itself is a miracle. Jesus, born in a manger that silent night so long ago, Jesus came to earth in order to save you through giving His life to die on the cross, to pay your sin debt. For God so loved the world, you can put your name in there, right? God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, that if you would just believe in Him, you would not perish, but have eternal life. No matter who you are or what you've done, God's love can overcome. You know, kids get so excited about Christmas. You know, all the anticipation. Oh, man, I can't wait. And, you know, it's all the kids talk about, especially that one gift. It's the gift that they've always wanted. You know, they circle it on all the ads, or, you know, show you on the websites, or you're walking through the store. It's like, this is what I want. This is what I want. They talk about it. And then what happens when they finally get what they've always wanted? That's all they talk about. My little nephew Riley, he's into Legos, you know, and he'll get his gift and so excited, you know, and he tears open the gift, and then he says, look, Uncle Dale, come on, look. He's like, okay, you know, and then I get the explanation about the whole thing, all right, and then there's the demonstration, you know, and he gets these big, you know, Lego sets, you know, it's like, okay, I get the picture, you know. But it's so exciting for him, and that's all he wants to talk about. Now, if you think about that, and I remind you that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have received the most precious gift of all, eternal life, eternal salvation. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And He made you alive as you repented, as you turned from your sinfulness, turned to Him in salvation, and He saved you for eternity. That is something to be excited about. Amen? It's a gift that you have received that you should never stop talking about. When you receive a gift that means a lot to you, you're excited about it. You want to tell others about it. So our take-home thought here today is the miracle of the message is that Jesus saves. The miracle of the message is that Jesus saves, and He has saved you, and you ought to be excited about that and want to tell others about that. Jesus, holy God, saves yours and my sin, sick, sorry soul. And as we repented and we turned away from our lifestyle of sinfulness, we trust Him to save us. We, as a result, have that eternal salvation. And so the gift of Jesus should be so treasured that you want to tell others. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. I know it's a familiar passage to you, but I chose to jump right to the Christmas story, right out of the gate as we look ahead to the Christmas season here, to learn some important truths about this miraculous message. Luke chapter 8, we're looking at Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, looking at this passage here this morning. Luke 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Wow! Exciting! Good news of great joy! But the problem is, that which was once a joy for the shepherds to share has often become a dreaded responsibility for many of Christ's sheep today. You know, why don't we tell others about Christ more faithfully? You know, why don't we do that? We know we're supposed to, and it's the most treasured gift we've ever received and we will ever have. Well, I think it's because basically we're scared. Right? We get nervous about it, and then we go, "Oh man, I should have said something." Well, we look at the shepherds. You know, they were fearful. You know, they were living out in the fields, verse 8, keeping watch over their flocks, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Whoa! You know, I read a play one time, it says, "Out of the black night, the mighty Marvo." You know, it's like, wow! An angel, how often does that happen? You know, they're just chilling out, you know, just out in the fields, you know, like looking at the stars. And an angel appears to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. It wasn't just a guy who says, "Hey guys, hey, wake up. You know, I want to tell you something." I mean, the glory of the Lord was there. Oh. And then the angel says, "Don't be afraid." These guys were fearful. But they overcame their fear. Look at verse 17. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They overcame their fear when they came into the presence of Jesus. And they understood the reality of God becoming man. And it was at that point that they told others. They told others about Jesus, their Messiah, the Savior of the world. That's the miracle of the message. So I want to look at the shepherds. See what we can learn about telling others about Christ, witnessing your faith. You know, let's ask, what did they tell others about? The shepherds spread the word concerning that which they saw. Did they now? Think about this. They saw a lot. They were eyewitnesses of this angel. You know, whoo, here's this guy with the glory of the Lord shining around them. Like, oh man, what's this all about? Oh my goodness. They saw this and they were terrified. And then all of a sudden there was with that angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, a multitude of angels. I don't know how many that was, but it was a lot. And they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest." I don't think it was real quiet. You know, hey, you know, we're just chilling out. We're just, oh, they saw this. And then they hurried off and they found, they saw Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. So did they spread the word about seeing Mary, Joseph, and the baby? Did they spread the word concerning that which they saw? No. How about that which they experienced? Did they spread the word concerning that which they experienced? I mean, they woke up, they're tending their flocks. It's like, and all of a sudden, fear, and they experienced excitement. Oh my goodness. It was an exciting event. The angels were praising God. Is that what they shared? Is that what they told people about? No! Look at verse 17. When they had seen him, the shepherds spread the word concerning that which had been told them concerning the child. And you might say, well, why were they so excited about what they were told? They were told, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. So why were they so excited? Because they believed it. They believed it. When they heard it, they believed it. Listen, if I told you that I, Dale Christian, am going to give you $1 million. I'm going to give you $1 million. Well, what would you think? Yeah, right. Yeah, really? Yeah, right. Why would you? You wouldn't believe it, right? Because I don't have that kind of money. You know, it's Pastor Dale, you know. However, if you had a grandfather or an uncle who was a multimillionaire, said, hey, I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you something really special for Christmas. Oh, really, Grandpa? What are you going to do? I'm going to give you $1 million. Really? Oh my goodness, you would get excited about that, right? Because it would be believable. He's a multimillionaire and he has the money. He could give it to you. You'd get excited. Why? Because you believe it. And I think that's why these guys got so excited, because that which they were told, they believed. So here's a question here. How do you gain the courage to tell others? Believe the message. How do you gain the courage to tell others? Believe the message from your heart. This is the most exciting news that you could ever share or tell anybody about. The most wonderful gift you have ever received. You believe it and you're excited to tell others. You believe what you have been told. You have believed that. You have trusted Christ. You know what happened to you when you realized that you were a sinner and that there was no way that you could stand before God apart from salvation through Jesus Christ. And you turned from your sins and you wanted, and you turned to God and salvation through Jesus, believing He died, was buried, and rose again. It's that simple, right? That's what you did. And you can just tell others. And I just encourage you to use the resources you have in order to do that. And one resource you have is your own testimony. People can't deny you of your testimony. This is what took place in my life. I believe Jesus, and I believe He died and rose again for me. And I just want to tell you about that. And I'd like to encourage you to do the same. You have that resource. You also have the Scriptures, obviously. John 3:16, quoted it earlier. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. You can, as you're talking to your friend, you can say, God so loved you, Sam, Sally, Tom. God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in your place. You and I deserve to die and spend eternity separated from God. But Jesus died in our place. That if you would just believe in Him, you would have eternal life. And so you go to the Scriptures. You go to Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, or else we would boast about it. You can go to Romans. We call it the Romans Road. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Romans chapter 9 verses, Romans chapter 10 verses 9 through 13. And we call that the Romans Road because it helps a person understand that they're a sinner, but if they would confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart God raised Him from the dead, they will be saved. If they would just call upon the name of the Lord, they would be saved. You go to the Scriptures. Just simply use the resources that you have. And I tell you those specifically so that you can jot them down, get them up here, so that when you have the opportunity to tell somebody, you have some tools, you see. And if you missed all that, get with me after the service or go online and listen to it again. Jot those verses down. Resources. Use the resources that you have to tell others. Now, another matter that caused excitement, I think, as you think about this, is that it was fresh. It was fresh news. Yeah, I think we need to be reminded of the fresh reality of the gospel and its significance to our lives and our salvation. Right? And some of you have been saved since Moses crossed the Red Sea. You know, I mean, you know, you've been saved for so long. It's just like, oh, you know, yeah, I'm saved. But this morning, as we look at this, we can say, why were these guys so excited? Because I just want to encourage you to grasp the fresh reality of your salvation, to live in light of the gospel. Wow. To be reminded. That's what's one of the exciting things about Christmas season coming every year, because we're reminded of the significance of these events. It's not just a baby being born in a manger. It's God who became man. Yes, He dwelt among us full of grace and truth, and He ultimately died in your place and mine and rose again. And it affects our lives and should cause us, as it did the shepherds, to rejoice. Don't let the gospel become like a new car purchase. You know, you ever gotten a new car, or at least new to you, you know? It's like, oh, man, you know, you wash it and everything, you know, you get all excited about it. And you kind of show it off a little bit and you park it away from everybody, you know, and you don't want to get dinged or banged or whatever. And you get in that new car smell, you know, it's like, oh, this is great. You know, and you're all excited about that and you take really good care of it for a while. And one day you get into it and you go, smells like French fries. You know, it's kind of like, oh man, and old ones at that, you know. It's like, ugh, I can't, oh man, this thing, I need to clean it up, you know, or whatever. And then you get out one day and you look and it's like, oh man, somebody dinged the door. I parked clear out here and somebody still dinged my door. I got a scratch on it. And then, you know, you realize, man, I haven't washed this car in like 2 months, you know, or like, oh man, you know. It becomes old. You just get used to it. Kind of ho-hum. And whether you have been saved recently or whether you have been saved for years, the gospel ought to be fresh to you. Don't let it become old. If you are living out the gospel, you keep it fresh, or keeping it fresh shouldn't be difficult. If you're living it out, you're living in light of the gospel. And I'll tell you what, if you're telling others of the gospel and you see people coming to salvation, man, that really gets you charged up. If you're in a spiritual funk right now, start telling people about Christ and hopefully one day you'll lead someone to Jesus and you see the excitement in their life. And I mean, it's contagious. You know, you get excited about it. Because they just realize they are saved and have eternal life. We've had some folks recently get saved. I mean, it is. I'm meeting with someone and they're so excited about it. I get excited about it. It's contagious. Keep it fresh because of that excitement. So, what were the shepherds told that they got so excited about? Well, let's look at some points of encouragement. First of all, they were told, "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. Verses 8 through 10, they were living out in the fields and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." Now, we're not talking about a startling fear, like someone coming up behind you, boom, you know, and scaring the jabbers out of you. That's not the kind of fear we're talking about here. The word terrified is a good translation. They were not, the King James says, they were sore afraid. It means they're terrified. And they were not just fearful. The word is mega fearful. They were afraid in a big way. Now, I realize that the context here is this angel appears to them suddenly. You know, they're chilling out, looking at the stars and, you know, what's on TV tonight or whatever, you know. It's like, and then all of a sudden there's this angel. I understand that was the context here. But this fear had them quaking. The fact is, fear, that kind of fear, can cripple. Fear can be sin when you allow it to keep you from doing that which is right and fulfilling responsibility. So to remain fearful would have hindered the shepherds from communicating the message. You know, hey, nobody's going to believe us anyway, so we're just going to keep this under our turbans, you know. It's just like, man, you know, don't, an angel, really, you know? The Savior born, why? Point here is you must not be afraid when it comes to telling others about Christ. You must not be afraid when telling others about Christ. In other words, fearful to the point of neglecting your responsibilities. You know, fear ought to be energy that motivates you. You know, every Sunday when I get up in front of you folks to preach, I get a little nervous. A few butterflies in there, you know. And it's like, man, you know, God help me. Grant clarity of thought. I want to be an instrument in your hands. And so a fear or that kind of anxiety, if I could use that word, should motivate us as opposed to prevent us from fulfilling our responsibilities. It's interesting. Someone said, fear is the greatest threat to your potential. If you allow fear to keep you from reaching your potential, it can be sin. It's interesting that we tend to think that fear is a legitimate excuse for neglecting responsibilities. Have you ever said this or heard this? Oh, I can't do that. I'm too scared. I can't do that. I'm too scared. If that's the case, you may be missing out. But on the other hand, God commands us to overcome fear that cripples, put off fear, and put on a biblical alternative. Now, what is the biblical? If I'm going to get rid of fear, I need to replace it with that which God tells me to replace it in His Word. And I used to think that, all right, if I'm fearful, I need to learn to trust. And that's a part of it. But turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4, 18. First John, back toward the back of the New Testament there. 1 John 4, 18. Listen to this. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. No fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. So what's the biblical alternative to fear? Love. Now here's the question in light of the context of our message this morning. Do you have a love for that lost neighbor? That lost friend, relative, classmate, coworker? Do you love them enough to say, you know what, I cannot allow fear to keep me from sharing this most important message and the most wonderful gift I've ever received? I love you enough. Or you might not say that out loud. Maybe you would. I love you enough to share that which is most important to me. I want to tell you about it and tell you what God did for me. To love lost souls. Love them enough to overcome the fear of being rejected. Isn't that what we fear? We're afraid they might say, hey, I don't want to hear about it. You know, just don't talk to me about it. Or I don't even want to talk to you again. But love helps us overcome that kind of fear. Someone was training one of our men in sales. And he taught this. And one of our men was sharing with me what he learned. And he said, I learned, do that which you fear the most and your fears will die a sudden death. Do that which you fear the most, and your fears will die a sudden death. I got to thinking about this. Think about a fireman. You know, he stands before this house, this inferno, burning, and it's like, and he hears, "Help me, help me!" And you can't tell me there's not some apprehension, like, "Oh my goodness, okay." But he overcomes that fear or apprehension because of his concern for the person who needs help. And that's in the physical realm. We certainly ought to do that in the spiritual realm. There are people around you who are dying and going to hell apart from salvation through Jesus. And it's like, I love them enough, I want to tell them about the most wonderful gift that they could receive. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. John 8:32 says, you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You and I know the truth of salvation. It's like, we want other people to know this. It is truth. And it helps us overcome our fears. So don't be afraid. Secondly, good news is worth sharing with others. Verse 10, I bring you good news of great joy for all. You know, this is something that we're not to hoard. It is for all. The ladies have a candy dish in the office. And it's like a magnet. I mean, people walk in, you know, it's just like, there's candy. And people come in, and it's just like, oh, hey, you know, take some candy. You know, it's for everybody who comes into the office. So you can start lining up and get your piece of candy, you know. And that's, it's like that. This is something that we are not to hoard. It is for all. Good news, full of joy. Just think of the relief when the angels left. It's like, oh, they're not out to get us. They had good news, man. That's not a secret. It's something that we're supposed to tell others about. You know, oftentimes when we hear good news, we're supposed to keep it quiet, at least for a while. You know, once in a while someone comes up, hey, did you hear so-and-so's pregnant? Really? Oh my goodness, that is wonderful. Shh, don't tell anybody. They haven't told the family yet, you know. But they told you. You know, sometimes we hear good news and we're don't tell anybody. That's not the way this is. It's good news for all the people, for everybody. So don't be afraid. Treasure this gift. And proclaim this gift. And good news is worth sharing. And finally, tell the truth about Jesus. Tell the truth about Jesus. Verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. What had been told to them about the child? Verse 11. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Catch the reality of the long-awaited Messiah. When the angels had left them, gone into heaven, the shepherds, verse 15, said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just think, this was the event to which the Jewish nation was looking. They were looking ahead to the coming of the Messiah. We just sang about that. Emmanuel, rejoice. Come to us. He has come. And that's what they were so excited about. And then what'd they do? They told others. So tell others that Jesus is the one and only Savior, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Maybe you're someone here today. you've never trusted Christ, and you say, you know what? I recognize that that's good news. No matter who you are or what you've done, God's grace, His love can overcome. And you realize that here today. But many of you, if not most of you, you know that salvation. So this is just an encouragement to you to make a commitment. And I'm going to encourage you to make a commitment today. And that is through this Christmas holiday season to say, you know what? God, help me. But I'm willing to tell somebody about Jesus in some way or another. Give my testimony. Invite them to church. We got a lot of activities coming up. We have the choir concert coming up. We have the caroling. We have Christmas Eve service. We have all our services on Sundays. Maybe it's just an invitation. It's just a start. But you make a commitment to say, you know what? I want to tell people about Jesus. You're willing to do that. And then look for those opportunities to do so. These guys were excited. Praise resulted from what they heard and saw. Look at verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They were praising God. They were sharing the gospel. They were telling people this good news. You can't make people believe, right? But you can sow the seed. You can tell people, hey, Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah, well, no, really, Merry Christmas. It's just a wonderful time of the year. Why is that? What's so great about it? You know, hey, I've trusted Christ, and I'd like for you to trust Christ too. So here's the challenge, and that's boldly declare the miraculous message of salvation. Boldly declare the miraculous message of salvation. Take the opportunity of this Christmas season. I intentionally put this message first so that you could look ahead through the Christmas season and say, I'm going to look for opportunities to share Christ and to show Christ. And as we all make that commitment, man, may we see people come to God in salvation through Jesus. Let's ask for His help. Heavenly Father, we can't do this apart from You. We don't have salvation apart from You. It's by Your grace. And so we need Your help. We need Your enablement. Just like we trusted You for our salvation, may we trust You to help us in boldly proclaiming that salvation to others. And it's our prayer that we would see people coming to You in salvation. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, there may be someone here today who say, you know, I've never trusted Christ, but I understand it now. And I want to trust Christ as Savior. Or maybe you still have questions about it. We want to help you with that. We encourage you to fill out a communication or connection card there. And after the service, on that card you can put, I want to trust Christ or have questions about Jesus. And if it's private, personal, just put for pastors only. We'll get with you. Or talk to us after the service. Put the card in the offering plate here as it's passed. Or you can fill it out online or through YouTube or YouVersion as well. But the challenge is for, by and large, for believers. So that you make that commitment. And I, again, encourage you to make that commitment. I'd love to hear about that so we can pray for you. Just jot that down and say, I'm going to look for opportunities to share Christ, to show Christ. And we'd like to hear about that as well. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our church to be effective this Christmas holiday season to do just that. Father, work in our hearts, I pray. Help us to be faithful, not fearful, to show Christ and share Christ to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.